Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. As we mentioned, a new segment. John Chill, CFO at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, be talking about the DraftKings Sportsbook and what's going on, giving you some tips about some stuff that you can use to make a little bit of money this weekend. There's so much going on, too, at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. We'll talk about that as well. John Chill joining us for the first time here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, welcome in. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great.
How you guys doing? Good.
So, draft tonight, you can't, I mean, what kind of circle do you put around the bets at the DraftKings Sportsbook? What's the max that you can bet on some of these on some of these draft wagers?
I believe it's 500 just for the draft, just because it's kind of a carnival bet. You know, it's not a game related, so the max bet you could do is $500.
$500.
Yeah,
you've got some interesting things there. Tell us about some trends or some interesting numbers there for the draft tonight.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, a week ago, I think we're all chalk up the Bears are going to take Williams, and you know, what's the 2 and 3 pick? A week and a half ago, May was the favorite, and you know, Daniels was the underdog, and it seems like things have changed here in the last week and a half. And for me, what's interesting with the Commanders is that, you know, May has a lot of connections with the Commanders, and he's up to, I think, +600 this morning, you know, for the second pick, which is an interesting. A lot of times I look at value. You know, I think Kingsbury was recruiting him in college, and I think he had, and May has ties with the quarterback coach with the Commanders as well. So, you know, with May being an underdog, and it looks like Daniels will be the second pick, as you know what they're saying. It's interesting to see that he's gone up, you know, as an underdog that much. So, you know, as you go down through it, you know, got a new era with New England. I would say, you know, if it was Belichick in there, we'd probably see a trade to, you know, he'd grab picks. And probably they'll end up, you know, picking May, you know, and he's at -240 at that point. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cardinals do. You know, as we go through it, you know, Harrison will be on the board. I think he's at +220. The one I like the best is the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to sit still there and go with, you know, with Harbaugh. He, you know, he's built all his teams through the line, and I think Ault will be there, and he's at +320, which I think is a good price for
Ault +320. Chargers. Lance, yeah. Who did you have them taken?
The Chargers, Latham.
Oh yeah, what is Latham there going fifth to the Chargers? You got Ault as the first tackle being off the board. What kind of odds could we get for J.C. Latham there?
Latham +275.
+275.
It's gone down substantially over the last 24, over the last.
Yeah, he
hours.
Has. I think he was close to +500 probably a week ago, I think, at that spot. So. Yeah,
at five. What about, yeah. What about, where is, what's the under-over on McCarthy?
Right now, they got him, I think, +320 or +500 to go to the Giants. So he's over 5.5 picks. It's +500.
+500 to
go
to the
Giants. Yeah, which is a good. I mean, they're all talking about the Giants moving up, but I mean, you figure the Cardinals don't need a quarterback. You know, the Patriots will take, you know, probably whoever the Commanders don't take. And, you know, so, yeah, McCarthy, I think, is a good spot at +500.
+500. But he's got to specifically go to the Giants, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Lance, what about that? What about +500 on McCarthy to the Giants?
No.
You don't like it?
Pat, save your money.
Why? What don't you like about that?
I don't think the Giants like McCarthy.
Oh, you don't?
but I could be wrong, but we'll see. I mean, this is really tricky inside there because the Patriots are a tricky team to diagnose what they're going to do. They could sit still and draft a quarterback. I don't, you know, there could be two quarterbacks that they could be considering right there at that spot. If they trade back, who trades in and who do they like? The number four Arizona, do they sit tight and draft a wide receiver? Do they trade out? If so, who's moving up? Like, that's the tricky part right now is we don't know what 3 and 4 are going to do, and then we don't know how the Giants and the Raiders and because the Raiders are a possibility, not a great one, but how especially that really the Giants and the Vikings are the two to keep an eye on. How do they have guys rated? So it's a very tricky. I think 1 and 2 feel kind of settled, but 3 and 4 and 5 are a little trickier. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., you can't just plug him or Malik Nabers in at 4 because you don't know what Arizona's going to do.
What's the under-over on Harrison, John?
That is Harrison over 5 is plus 400.
Over 5 yeah. is plus
400? Now, I think there is a possibility.
I don't think he lasts till 6th.
Hold on a second now. Hold on 1 second. I'll tell you one scenario. Let's say they go 3 and 6. Let's say the Patriots trade with the Giants, and the Giants draft a quarterback there. And at number 4 at Arizona, they trade out. And the next quarterback, J.J. McCarthy or May, is taken at number 4. All of a sudden, we got number 5 sitting there. And if Marvin Harrison is not the pick of Jim Harbaugh, who loves to build big, nasty offensive lines, then all of a sudden you're looking at Marvin Harrison at potentially 6. Or 7.
Yeah, but how are you going to, if you're Harbaugh, you just lost Allen and you lost Williams, how do you pass on Marvin Harrison?
Because it's a deep wide receiver draft and Jim Harbaugh doesn't care.
Deep
Jim
tackle
Harbaugh
draft
believes,
too, though.
Well, it's deep in the first round.
Yeah.
It's not as great in the second round. It really isn't. That's kind of being overblown a little bit. Once you get past the first 5 tackles, it gets a little sloppy. So,
John, what
Harbaugh does his own thing, by the way.
Right. John, any other interesting, anything that's trending for you guys that you're getting, any money that you see that's going somewhere in the draft?
As far as the draft now, I think, you know, what we've been talking about, it's going to be interesting to see what these teams do in the trades. I know there's, and I'm looking for the odds now, I know there's a bunch of prop bets, how many trades will be, you know, in the first round, there's over under, I think, 7.
That's a big number.
You know, looking at 7 trades and... So I was trying to look that up right now.
The under has to be the favorite, though, right?
Well, there was 9 trades last year. There was 6 the year before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was 9 trades last year, 6 the year before. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good number. I'm looking at my final mock draft, and I think I ended up having 6. So I think that's a pretty good number because what's going to happen is the quarterback and the tackle – Daniel Jeremiah talked about this. People are going to trade up for tackles. So Philadelphia is in play to move up. The Steelers are in play to move up. The Chiefs are apparently in play to move up. So all of a sudden, between quarterbacks and tackles, you could see 5 trades just for those two positions.
Yeah.
And that's before we even get to the back end of the first where it can really go crazy.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. You know, like I said, there's a lot of possible scenarios and a lot of needs for – key positions for a lot of teams, and especially in the first 10 picks. And, you know, we'll see what falls out. But the odds are there. You know, there's all kinds of different ways you can play it out on DraftKings. And, we'll see how it goes.
DraftKings Sportsbook, John Chill
from
the Golden Nugget Lake Charles with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He'll be doing this on Thursdays with us. So if you need you want to get a draft edge or a betting edge, this is the place to be on Thursdays. John, what happened after last night's Celtics loss? Is the Celtics a much better value now for this series?
Yeah, they've gone down. You know, I was going to talk about some of the series prices. You know, they've I think it's plus 350. That was my lock of the day today, was to take the Celtics or take the Heat in game 2, but yeah, that was an interesting play, and you know, the Heat just has their number. And I was looking now at some of the lines that came out. I believe they're minus 8 Saturday, so that's interesting. That you know, they've been in the 15s. I think game 1 was 12, and last night was 14.5, and now you're starting to see you know, a little bit of movement on the heat and people taking the heat, pulling it up right now.
Eight's still a big number on the road after a team just slapped you around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got to hear they're still minus 1,800. I apologize. Some of the ones, the series I'm looking at, you know, you talk about the Suns, you know, game three, they haven't looked good at all. But, you know, as far as value, they're at plus 320. If they can win game three, you know, that goes down to probably plus 180. So if you still think the Suns can, you know, stay in this series or even win the series, you know, now's the time to get in, you know, with the Suns. Sixers the same way. I was just looking this morning. I believe Mitchell Robinson's questionable. So that line's moved from, I think, minus one down, or Knicks getting one to getting five now. So the Sixers are at plus 350 for the series. Again, if they win, you know, if the Sixers win, you're probably going to see only plus 180. So if you believe that those teams can make a comeback and get back into the series, there's some value right there as well.
Yeah. I don't know if I believe in the Suns.
You got to believe.
Yeah, you got to believe in the Suns again. And Minnesota looks just, they look too good. They just look.
No.
Yeah. And Philadelphia, Embiid, the knee, everything. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm a believer. I think Minnesota's for real this year. And, I just don't think Phoenix has gelled with all their injuries. And, you know, their bench is, you know, light. And I think Grayson Allen's going to be out. So I that was one of my underdogs. I think they're getting 4.5 tomorrow. I like them straight up, Minnesota.
Are you getting crushed with Astros money? People just firing at the Astros night in and night out?
I've been waiting for the Astros to win more than one out of every three games. And you're starting to get some, you know, a little bit of value there. I think Verlander's minus 130 today. You know, I know you guys were talking about it prior. Giving up all these runs early, they did it last night. You know, hopefully that stops and they can, you know, get back on track a little bit. But you're starting to see, you know, Verlander pitching used to be a minus 200.
You know?
So, to see him at minus 130, you know, and that's good value.
That's really good value. Before the season started, Verlander starting in Chicago would probably be minus 240 or 250, right?
Yep.
And now, minus 130?
In theory, it's a great value.
In theory.
Yeah.
But then the Astros have to actually come up with a hit.
These seven wins exactly. Tell me different.
Yes, you still got to cross the plate. You still got to score runs. So, hopefully the Astros, you know, I'm starting to look at them, like I said, and, you know, to see that and see them at minus 130, that's, you know, to me is a good price.
What kind of value could you get on taking the Astros to win the division right now?
Let's see.
Oh, man. Probably not good enough. Probably not.
They haven't really. I mean, we're 25 games in. I was trying to look at the.
I got to imagine it's better than before the season started. That's for sure.
Yeah,
much better.
Yeah.
Much better. Yeah. But you know what? The Rangers haven't run away with it. So, I mean, yeah. I mean.
No.
And, you know, the. And we still believe that at some point this team is going to turn it around, although I don't know why we still believe that, but we do. So we'll see. But this is a good time to be.
John?
This is when you're down. This is when the stock is down, Lance. You bet it. Now you buy low.
Yep. Buy low, sell high.
Buy low, sell high. This is a good time to buy the. I don't know. We might want to wait a little bit before we start buying the Astros again.
Yeah.
Might want to wait.
I feel like we may not be at the bottom yet.
Yeah. Please stop. Well, John Chill with us here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. By the way, all kinds of good stuff coming up. Terry Fator in the Grand Event Center on the 26th. Get those tickets now. $100,000 drawings both Friday and Saturday night this weekend. So you got to get that. On May 2nd, $250,000 Mayday payday every Friday in May. $250,000 Money Mania every Saturday in May as well. So Rick Springfield, Richard Marks hitting the Grand Event Center on May the 10th. Visit GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com to get your tickets. Sammy Kershaw is coming on the 17th of May. And don't forget about those $250,000 May Day paydays Friday, every Friday in May and Saturday in May. So all kinds of great stuff coming up here at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, just 2 hours down the road. You're looking for a great time. The DraftKings Sportsbook is excellent. Make your reservation to go and sit at the sports book and watch your games because it fills up in a hurry, especially for big events. Now's the time to book your Super Bowl. Now's the time to book your football. You can use your fantasy draft party as well. You can do it there. All great stuff at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and especially at the DraftKings Sportsbook. John, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging with us. And we look forward to doing it again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
John Chill, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. Saluki's last day. He's on the board. Congratulations. You going back to school? Yeah, congratulations. All right.
Brett, yeah.
Yeah, he's, I call him Saluki because he's from Southern Illinois.
Okay.
He didn't go to Southern Illinois, but I just call him Saluki. All right.
Can we call you Prairie Fire?
Yeah.
The old Siwash.
The old Siwash. That's what we are. The old Siwash. O-L-E, old Siwash, not old.
Oh, I know. Old, like Ole Miss.
Old Siwash. That's what I was. I wasn't a Prairie Fire.
Why did they go away from Siwash? Racism? Is that why they went to Prairie Fire?
I think so. Yeah, racism. Racism was
What's
involved.
What's a Siwash?
Racism.
What does that mean?
That's. I think it's a type of Native American.
Yeah, they can't do that anymore.
Can't do that. Even though no one even knew that was really. I didn't even know what it was.
You didn't have a Native American mascot running around?
No.
Siwash is Native American?
Yeah, I guess. But I there was some reference to a house on a hill or something, and that's what we thought old Siwash was. But apparently it was a Native American of some sort, but no one knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm done with this segment.
Neat stuff. Neat stuff.
It's really neat stuff. Even you know that was neat stuff.
But what is a Saluki? Is that a Native
know,
American?
Somebody
as well?
From South Illinois. Who knows?
Apparently it's a dog.
A Saluki's a dog?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No one knew that.
Neat stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Neat stuff. So, Astros at 110 today with Justin Verlander on the mound at minus 130. This makes a lot of sense to me.
It's disrespectful.
It is disrespectful to Justin.
Honestly, it's such a disrespectful number.
It really kind of is. I mean, there's all kinds of disrespectful numbers out there.
But it's also a fair number.
I'm going J.J. McCarthy under 5.5.
Okay.
I believe
you just pivoted right off the Astros.
I did. But I'm just thinking about some of the numbers that he put out there.
And I think that's a pretty good favorite. I think you have to pay money for that. A pretty good juice. But I do have, in my mock draft, I have him getting outside of it. I think there's actually some value in some of these overs, to be honest with you. Some of the ones I've seen, I can't take advantage, and I'm not going to tell you which ones, but let's just say look for some overs.
Look for overs?
Look for some overs in player slotting.
Would you? Okay.
But also look for some unders.
What are your What are your odds about Marvin Harrison? What about the Cards trading up?
I don't know. I just have a funny feeling. You know, so you look at their roster. Their roster's terrible. They need a bunch of picks, but they have a bunch of picks. Remember when last year when they had a chance to draft Will Anderson, but they traded out, yeah. They traded back and then picked up extra picks and then moved back up for Paris Johnson?
Yeah.
Hey, was that cool? Was that a cool move, or how are we looking with that? Paris Johnson doesn't look like he's got very much of an anchor. He's got a chance to be a decent tackle, but you traded out of the defensive rookie of the year, and you got extra picks, and that's great, but that's also what Sashi Brown did before he had to leave Cleveland after having like one win in 3 years.
Well, right. He never made any picks, though.
Yeah, you keep collecting picks, and guess what? You traded out of Deshaun Watson. You keep trading out of good players for future players that don't exist yet. At some point, you know, you got to take your stand and draft good football players. And so I wonder maybe if Arizona says, you know what, we're good. We're not going to keep trading back. We've already got two firsts right now. We're going to take our pick of the best wide receiver in the draft for Kyler Murray, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
And I just have a feeling that's what's going to happen. I just think they're going to say, nah, we're good. We don't want to move to 11. Now, would they flip-flop 4-6? Of course they'd flip-flop 4-6. But because they know that 6 is coming for, you know, 6 is coming for. Tell you who's going to get screwed is Tennessee Titans, because everyone has plugged in Joe Alt to the Titans forever. Then everyone knows, like, you got to get ahead of number 7. You got to get ahead of number 7 in the Titans for an offensive tackle and for Joe Alt. So they're going to have people target them and go ahead of them. That's why you never want people to know who, you know, you never want a narrative to develop on who you're going to take, because if that narrative ends up being right, then somebody can jump ahead of you. And I think that's what's going to happen to the Titans. I think that, you know, number one, I do believe that the Chargers are going to go with an offensive lineman. But the second thing is, if the Giants, like the Giants will draft, I don't know. I don't know what the Giants will do if they don't trade into 3. I'm not sure. You have to like the quarterback to draft them. So there's a chance still that number 7 goes, that, you know, Alt could go number 1, could go 5th to the Chargers, but there's also a chance that if the Giants don't get their quarterback they like, then maybe they move back, although I think a really good wide receiver's on the board, so I think you almost have to draft there. But it's going to be interesting to see how the draft rolls, because there is a difference of opinion at wide receiver, there's a difference of opinion at offensive tackle, there's a difference of opinions in quarterbacks, so I think it's pretty wide open for the first 10 picks. And then, you know, there's talk about potentially the Jets trading up for Roma Dunze because they want to go all in for Aaron Rodgers. And basically, Joe Douglas already knows that if things don't go well this year, he's done, and so is Robert Saleh. So they may say, F those picks next year. We're trying to win right now to save
that's
our jobs,
true.
Which really is probably happening.
Well, that's bad for an ownership group when guys are, you know, are possibly, on, yeah, they're on
making
the hot
picks
seat.
For,
they're
yeah.
just going to get desperate. And, you know, although, you know what, maybe the owner will like some urgency there too. You know, we'll see. But is Roma Dunze, is he...
Though.
I mean, is Roma Dunze going to be that much better than Brock Bowers? Staying where you're at and getting Brock Bowers?
Well, he's a wide receiver. The other guy's a...
Well, I understand that, but I mean, is, okay, look at the production that you get out of in Kansas City out of your
no,
tight
like,
end versus...
Yeah, like Brock. It depends on how you use him. The one thing is, Aaron Rodgers has never been a big tight end guy. Like, there's been some... He's had some success.
Yeah.
Who was it at Texas that he had... who was that tight end years ago from Texas? But he's never really made a living out of just exploiting tight ends. That's not really what he does. Every year, people, Robert Tonyan, this is the year. He's got Aaron Rodgers. And every year you want to look for a tight end for Aaron Rodgers. And that's not really...
Yeah, but this is a different guy.
Well, it's also you're also not drafting this guy for Aaron Rodgers. Because let's be real. If you get 2 years out of Aaron Rodgers, it'll be a minor miracle. 3 years will be, you know, potentially... You're going to have to, and the Catholic Church will have to look at distinguishing that as an actual miracle. Because I don't think Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure he plays more than this year. So any draft pick you make, you're doing it for 1 year? No. You're making draft picks for well beyond Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be here in 5 years. Not in 4, probably not 3, maybe 2, and there's a pretty good shot that it's 1, and then he's off to an ayahuasca farm or whatever.
He's off to a what?
Ayahuasca. Isn't that what he take the...
ayahuasca farm.
Yeah, hallucinogen.
Yeah.
You think we're never going to hear from Aaron Rodgers after... I think Aaron Rodgers is going to go completely buck nutty, and he's going to just be like...
Yeah,
I think he's going to say what he's already says whatever he wants to, but now he's going to really say what he wants to when he's done playing. You're going to keep hearing from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no, no, no. I think he's going to have a podcast, and then
there's
a possibility he could run for office at some point. No.
I'm not a big fan of just like celebrity office runners. I get that people don't like career politicians. I totally get that. I'm also not a fan of the old, model of junior high votes where I promise to have all of pizza on every day for lunch and to expand playground time and our time in dodgeball for 2 hours. Yeah. And also I am the most popular kid, so I win the most votes. Yay. That kid does nothing. He can't get anything done in junior high.
No.
It's just a popularity vote.
That's all.
I don't like my country run by popularity votes. I'm just not a fan. I'm also not a fan of career politicians who are just trying to stay in there either.
You had a president that was an actor in Ronald Reagan, and you got a game show host in Donald Trump. And
game show host?
Well,
he's not Wink Martindale with a skinny microphone.
You're fired. What was that show?
Reality show host.
Oh, reality show host. Yeah.
And also, I was a real estate magnate.
No. I'm not downgrading. But he was.
He had his own college too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jermichael Finley. Yeah. Jermichael Finley was the Texas tight end I was trying to think of.
Yeah. So here we go. 713-780-3776.
I got to tell you, I saw a bed place. I was driving, and I saw a bed place called Sleepy Joe's. They were selling mattresses.
Sleepy Joe's mattresses?
Sounds like something I'd
be interested in. I mean,
I'd rather
than Insomniac Joe's. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I'm not buying a mattress from Insomniac Joe.
You going to buy a mattress from Lumpy Joe's?
No, not Lumpy's either. No.
I can feel the coils through this mattress.
Bedbug Joe's. No.
Bedbug Joe's?
Yeah.
No.
No. Sleepy Joe's. That sounds like something.
It is more of a mattress you would buy if you Sleepy Joe's.
All right. One segment to go before we hit News of the Weird. So if you want to get in, hurry. Over 40 years service in Houston, Bull Shirts is the place to go to get guaranteed top-notch quality and service for whatever your needs. Screen printing, embroidery, promotional items. They do it all. Literally, they do it all. If you've got a company or team, hats, protective headwear, koozies, cups, mugs, pop-up tents, golf accessories, awards, medals, coolers, lunch bags, backpacks, personalized flashlights, tools and toolkits, auto equipment, LED light-up products. Whatever it is, Bull Shirts is a one-stop shop. Been doing it forever. They've been literally here for 40 years, Bull Shirts. It's no bullshit. It is Bull Shirts. You are looking for the best way to promote or to award or to just have your name on whatever it is. It's bull-shirts.com, bull-shirts.com. Tell them we sent you.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One thing that we missed, a tweet earlier, and I was like, no, that's not true. How many games have the Astros played? 25.
We're up to 25, okay. Yeah.
25. How many RBIs from the first base position?
Okay, I saw this tweet. Did you check the veracity of it? Is it true?
It's absolutely true.
Holy crap.
One RBI. One. This season. 25 games in.
Holy crap.
Do you know what Jose Abreu's OPS is?
Mm. It is, yes, hold on.
On base is, plus slugging.
Right. I think it's in the 200s. If I saw it last, I saw it, it was in a 200.
Well, it's 213.
Yeah.
213.
Okay.
He's got four hits, one extra base hit, and 62 at-bats. He has walked three times and struck out 17. Not a great ratio. Four hits, four errors. Not a great ratio. John Singleton, his OPS, 633.
Nice.
I didn't realize. For this year, that's really good. Bregman, 546. Chaz, 626. I mean, this is awful.
No power.
Awful.
Now do Jake Myers.
Now, you know what? Jordan's all the way down to 806.
Well, yeah, OPS. They've got seven wins.
OPS 806. He was over 1,000 not long ago.
John, I want to ask you a question about your old friend Martin Maldonado.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess?
No.
Just take a guess what his OPS is.
Maldonado's probably in the 100s, right?
Let's take a guess what it is. You can do batting
189.
Average and OPS. Lower.
Oh. Zero.
No. 162.
162.
What do you think his batting average is?
040.
048.
048. Holy crap. How many at-bats?
He's got 42 at-bats. He's got two hits. He struck out 16 times, which is more than one every three. He's walked twice. I mean, he couldn't be worse. He's got a single and a double.
And you see how many people, there are people on Twitter right now saying, you see, you lose Maldonado. Y'all were complaining about Maldonado.
You can't fade Maldonado.
You can't. You got the same thing this year, only it's at first base. It's at first base now.
He has no caught stealing so far. Oh, no, that's offensive. He has a strikeout. Good Lord. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 straight games, he struck out.
I didn't know we had a consecutive strikeout streak going.
Well, if there's something to be had, he's going to do it. He's going to win it.
Wow. Do you think he could get up to DiMaggio, 56 straight games?
Can you imagine if we had both those guys like we did last year, this year? Oh, like, last year, it wasn't great last year. This year, it's even worse.
Well, what do you mean? You might win 7 out of 25 games?
John Singleton has taken over the role of full-time first baseman. And it's not like he's a good defensive first baseman either.
No, he's bad.
Yeah.
No, he's bad.
He's bad, and Abreu is below average.
He had a ball last night, hit the bag before he got there, right before he got there. It's called a base hit because it hit the bag.
Instead of going and getting it.
It hits the bag and it's a base hit. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Sometimes you get blessings like that.
It's awful. This is awful. And oh, by the way, have you seen Blake Snell's act? He's on the IL now. Have you seen his numbers? Everybody that wants, he won't spend money.
He'd fit right in.
He would fit right into this Astros staff.
He's not good,
staff.
And he's on the IL.
He'd fit right into this staff. His ERA is 11.57. His WHIP is 1.97. Two runners an inning.
Look, I know I saw those tweets and people, hey, are we blaming Jim Crane for this? I'm not going to give you credit because you decided to not pay a guy who stinks. You paid plenty of guys who stink. I'm not going to give you credit for not paying a guy who stinks.
What kind of world is that you live in?
Hey, look at how smart Jim Crane is. Well, didn't sign Blake Snell.
Well, what about the other guys he signed who aren't playing well? You don't get credit for avoiding something.
When does that become the big... Yeah, the go-to is like, did you see how I didn't sign a player? That was great.
That was great.
Remember that time I didn't sign Maldonado? That was great.
Did y'all see Naz Reid won Sixth Man of the Year?
Yeah, it's close, though.
It was close, right? Malik Monk?
Malik Monk not thrilled. Surprisingly, an NBA player wasn't thrilled when they didn't win an award. But yeah, Naz Reid, he's really... that we were a lot of people were laughing at Minnesota for giving up all that for Rudy Gobert because of his history. And surprisingly, if you have perimeter players who will play defense, it makes your center look less bad because the Utah guys couldn't stay in front of anyone, so it made him look awful when he had to try to compensate. You got Jaden McDaniels, Ant Edwards will get after people. I can't believe Minnesota's a power. We were laughing.
They're really good.
Yeah, we were laughing at them for years, and now.
Do you know what he was to win before the season started?
No idea.
To win Sixth Man of the Year?
No idea.
Plus 7,500. 75-1 it paid. 75-1.
They're going to win multiple postseason or after season awards because Rudy's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, too. Which, well, you're a good basketball team. You're going to win those awards.
How many
awards.
Is that going to be for him? Is that three for Rudy?
The problem for Wembanyama is, as disruptive of a force as he is, the team defense was average. So if people are going to take things away from him, yeah, he was great, but you didn't affect your overall defense. While Rudy, because, well, he's got better defenders around him,
yeah,
their overall defense is outstanding.
Yeah, but you could make the argument that Wembanyama was better because he didn't have those.
Sure, but generally from what I've seen, even Bam, who's the third finalist, the defense under him is a top five defense with him being the anchor. They generally look at how it affects the overall defense by giving
someone
a
Can we put aside the whole concept of big guys are going to back skinny guys down and just dominate them? If you're long and tall, you're going to block shots. I mean, you'll give some up here and there, but the impact you have far exceeds, you know, if somebody tries to bully you around the basket. Because the years of, like, Dream and Patrick Ewing and all that stuff, like, that's.
I don't know. I don't know. Did you watch Wembanyama against the Rockets? The Rockets bullied the snot out of him and beat the snot.
You're talking about him being a defensive player of the year, but the Rockets aren't bully teams. They have Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, he bullied the snot out of him.
Well, he took him outside.
No, he took him down low.
Yeah,
I was there. He destroyed him down low.
Alperen starts high.
Yeah,
Wembanyama, I think, blocked like seven shots, five of them being Alperen's, but they just kept going.
And they beat him by 40.
And Alperen was going to win a couple of battles.
That was also not because Wembanyama was a huge defensive liability. It's because they beat him by 40. One of them, they barely beat them, remember?
Yeah.
Which one did they beat him by 40? They beat him by 40.
Alperen had a career game against him.
Yeah, they beat him by 40. It was a really close game.
Yeah, the Rockets kind of pulled away late, but it was competitive throughout that game.
Yeah, it was very competitive.
Alperen went after him, and that the Rockets had a plan, just because of Wimby's reactions
baby
to them
Joker
during the draft process.
Yeah.
But so they went after him. But remember that night, Wimby got him several times, but Alperen was undeterred, so he won the battle and the team won. And we know once Wimby puts on, whenever he puts on 15 pounds of muscle, all that's
going to put on
all that's
going to
end.
Though.
Well, that's what I said. I only said about 15. He puts on about 15. All that stuff's going to go away.
He'll give some up here and there, but the fact is, the impact he makes with blocking shots and altering shots is far supersedes it. The impact. Look, Rudy Gobert's pretty well put together. Like, he's tall, but he's not skinny. Rudy Gobert has some meat on the bone.
I was listening to a podcast, on our station that just had, like, four segments about why the league disrespects Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, well, ESPN had a story called, Why Do So Many Players Have Beef with Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, he's not liked.
No, he's not liked.
And why is that?
I think some of it has to do with players don't respect the awards he gets. Like, they don't think he should be getting them. So players continue to go after him. Anytime anyone has any success, they start talking to him. He is a better version. But we know how, like, players feel about Pat Beverly. They think he's overrated. Well, he's certainly now. He's older. But people, even when he was younger, they hated him. And they thought he was overrated defensively. They thought, that guy ain't stopping me. You guys, remember what Russell Westbrook said? He'd be tricking y'all by thinking he plays defense. I think some of that is the case with players. They don't think much of Rudy Gobert, particularly because of the times he got played off the floor in the playoffs. They go, all right, whatever he does in the regular season, there are ways to make him a non-entity or non-factor in the playoffs. And once again, if you're a Rudy defender, you go, yeah, Donovan Mitchell and others protecting me. How am I supposed to be as effective? You see now, top defense in the league in the regular season and what they're doing to the Suns, Rudy's going to be like, I'm justified in my awards.
Yep.
Yeah, but I like the fact that shot blocking's come back a little bit. I like the fact that we see the importance of altering shots around the paint. I know Wembanyama's on a bad team right now, so it doesn't really matter. But Rudy Gobert, what he does, and there's not a lot of guys that look like him physically, and he's a good athlete for his size, but
athletic bigs, you know, Chet Holmgren, for being bone thin, it still sucks when he's a backside defender and he's coming over and swatting your shot when he's not the primary defender. Like, that's a that kind of stuff has an impact on games. They got a good basketball team, too, over there, and he's, you know, he's had a positive impact. You've got a positive impact being made by Rudy Gobert. Like, shot blocking still matters, and I think that's the one thing really missing. And I'm not sure, Steven, are we really sure that we're going to get that once we get Khal Drogo in next year? Are we sure that we're going to have the shot blocking that we really want and the rim protecting we want? I know he's big and strong, and I'm not saying you don't want to have that, but are you really going to get the shot blocking you want? Does he have a history of blocking shots?
I don't know what his shot blocking numbers are. It just feels like we're going to be better defensively around the basket. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, I think so yeah, when he plays.
Right. All right, we got to break
better
it.
Better than Londale. Although Londale's got some block shots this year. He really improved the second
improved
half of the year.
He improved as the season went on. He actually wasn't bad. All right, news of the wear coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
This isn't that weird, I don't think. Maple Grove, Minnesota has declared itself the restaurant capital of Minnesota. The restaurant capital of Minnesota. In their self-proclaimed restaurant row, they have options like Chipotle, Cold Stone, and Panda Express.
Wow.
And they're planning on launching a restaurant week later this year. The restaurant capital of Minnesota.
Nice.
Maple
and
Grove.
You said it's in a mall?
I don't know if they have. No. It says every road leads to a restaurant in Maple Grove.
Is there a Chick-fil-A in there, too, probably, I would imagine?
Yeah, probably. There's
Sbarro's?
It doesn't say Sbarro's.
There's a
Sbarro's. That's a little
high class.
That's a little fancy.
Is there a Walk King? Okay. Is there a Walk King where people hold out the orange chicken and the bourbon chicken?
No, you already got your Chinese place.
No, I'm sorry. Have you been to the Galleria? You don't stop at just one. There's always two that compete. There's like, sir.
No, that's
honey
you,
bourbon chicken.
You're a sample guy. But there's
I'm
already
a sample guy.
The Panda Express. Are they going to have a competing Chinese restaurant there?
Yes, you always have to have a second one. Competition breeds success.
Really, not if you got Panda Express. Why would you need another?
Exactly.
That's my point. Horry County, South Carolina.
Are we sure that's how it's pronounced?
Horry County, yeah.
Is it Robert Horry?
It's, well, H-O-R-R-Y.
Or Horry.
It's Horry. Horry County. Well, and it's aptly named. And
just let John Cook know.
And how about this? Their police chief was among 10 arrested in the Horry County prostitution sting.
Okay, how do you get arrested if you're the police chief?
Where
did the thin blue line come
apparently
in?
Apparently, he didn't check in that day to see what we were doing.
Talk about
sir.
Talk about a guy not locked in on the job. He doesn't know about a sting in his own department and gets caught up in it.
Not only that, but his own guys didn't pull him aside.
Didn't warn him.
We don't want this getting out that you got arrested. They must hate that guy.
Apparently, he's 41 years old. Apparently, he paid $120.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It ain't going to be that good.
Well, I mean, if you're caught up in a sting, I mean, he's not going to a high class.
What does
joint.
The menu look like? I don't know. What are the prices and menu?
I don't know what they're charging in South Carolina.
Apparently, it's not good for
$120. Hey, how about this? Something good, weird. Apparently, airlines, as of yesterday, airlines are going to be required to refund passengers for canceled or delayed flights. How about this?
You mean even if you fly and you're delayed?
Well, apparently if it's a long delay, you are going to be reimbursed
in some way, shape, or form. Yes. There's already one on there. I think it's 3 hours.
And
it's
refunds
3 or 5 hours.
And refunds must be issued within 7 days.
Hold on. Of course you get refunded if your flight gets canceled.
Yeah, not always. They'll just change, you know, they'll change a flight, or I don't think, I'm not sure. They have to actually give you your money back.
They give you United bucks in exchange normally.
Right. You know, I taken
a voucher.
Y'all cancel my stuff. We got some talking.
It must be in cash unless the passenger chooses another form of compensation. How about that?
Yeah, you don't want to get the yeah, you're right, the United bucks.
Did you guys hear that George Santos was making a comeback?
A comeback after what?
Well, he wanted to run again for office.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately for George, he raised $0. Which is, okay.
Is that a problem?
Well, I don't think
for
that's,
him, yeah.
That's not weird.
It's a huge problem for
because
him.
Because I don't know, would anyone bet on this guy? Hey, let me give you money to run again for
office.
Yeah,
you think about it, that's actually, you're betting on this guy to win and your money going to something that's going to win out. No, why would I throw money away on George Santos?
Yeah, I mean, of all the ways I can don't. Usually, if you're going to donate to a candidate, you think he's going
to
win so that you get something in return from him.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Well, investing in George Santos is a bad one.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, I know you got me the first time, Bernie Madoff.
But
second time's a charm. I know. Shout out to Bernie Madoff, dead.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to shout out.
Well, Bernie Madoff. R.I.P., not shout out.
You don't even have to say rest in peace.
You don't.
No, yeah, Bernie just stole people's money.
Well, don't you have to say something nice about everybody that's dead? No,
I don't subscribe to that.
Like, okay, what were you saying about O.J.?
Okay, what did you say about Jimmy Williams? What nice things you got to say about him, John?
I didn't say anything bad about him.
Okay, what you said?
I didn't say he was an a-hole.
What nice thing do you have to say about him?
I didn't. Okay, he looked good in that brick color.
No, he did.
I thought he looked okay in it. That's about the extent of it. That's all I can say. The George Floyd Scholarship Committee has been accused of discriminating against non-black students in a federal complaint. It just seems to me that the George Floyd scholarship was going to go to a black person, right? Am I right? Or
that would be the assumption.
I would think, but we're going to sue because Whitey can't get any of that money?
Well, yeah, stay out of our business. Stay out of black people's business.
Does it bother you when you hear John say Whitey? It makes my heart rate goes up at least 3 beats.
It doesn't bother me because
when
I guess
Whitey doesn't like, oh.
No, I'm more afraid of what comes after. I'm not afraid by that term because it's nothing. He can say Whitey as much as he wants.
Yeah, but when John says it, you know he's getting ramped up.
No.
It's usually about Whitey taking a L or a W. And John conflates it.
How about the win for white people? What about when he says that?
Yeah, the white people thing, it bothers me because I know something bad is going to come. The Whitey thing is always about a joke.
Good
or something.
Weekend for white people.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Look out. When Bill Riccio used to say
well,
things
Whitey's
like that.
Taking a lot of L's.
What?
So, I mean.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
Oh, in the NBA? We got destroyed
you
forever.
Guys had the first 40 years.
Whitey finally
catching yeah, up until Tyler Hero years. Got us a W oh, yesterday.
Oh, Crispy White.
Yeah.
Yep. Crispy right. Milk got us a
Jokic.
W.
Oh, Crispy Milk. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Luka.
Jokic isn't one of yours. He doesn't count.
Yeah, they're white people.
Doesn't no, count. We can't count
you can't,
him.
You can't grab
no,
those
that's
guys.
Not Whitey. It's white people, though.
Yeah, it's not one of yours. Sorry. You don't get them. You don't get the Europeans.
Wait a minute. Whitey's got to wear overalls?
He ain't got to wear overalls, but he's got to be born.
And talk like this.
Now, I will say, if he robbed the bank, if we use the rob the bank.
White guy robs the bank. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, if we use college rob the bank test.
It'd be that Serbian rob the bank. That Slovenian rob the bank.
They would not say that Serbian.
They would.
That's racist, still.
That is
it's
racist.
It's not racist.
You're
if
not
he's
allowed
Serbian.
To call people Serbians.
No, if they're from Serbia, I could call
yeah,
them Serbian.
Yeah, but it still
oh, sounds,
sounds like
racist,
a slur.
It sounds like racist.
Slur.
If you are,
sounds like
if
a
you are from Serbia, you want to be called Serbian.
Oof. We're going to get canceled.
Yeah, now they're going to come after us just like the Turks.
See, I just stayed away from them because
look
I didn't want
happened.
To smoke.
First
look
you
what you
got
did.
The you got the Turks on us, now the Serbs.
Stop using Turks. How about we don't do that? The Turkish people, we love them. Stop shortening that word.
We can't call it. Wait, what?
Nope. Turkish.
Well, then we have to call them Serbians.
That's what I said.
You can't call them Serbs?
Not for me. I'm not going to call
them
Serbs.
What if you're chummy with them?
Well, if you're friends.
What if you say shout out to the Serbs?
Hey, big ups to the Serbs.
Shout out to the Serbians.
We're done. Maybe and Mopes are next.
I love how you have to think of what insults
you're
going to use.
I don't know what the show is.
No,
I'll see you guys on Friday.
I'll see
you guys on Monday.
No, you'll be here tomorrow. We're going to wrap. We got the preeminent draft guy to talk about all the picks tomorrow morning.
You're going to set up the board for us, who the Texans are going to grab after round one is over. You're not going anywhere.
You're here tomorrow morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Bye, bitch.